My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek : A Glee Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Many salutations to all of our many listeners. Many I, many Ian, many Allred, many and many I, many many, many Gleek, many. And everyone's like, you know what? I don't need a mini-sode this week. I think I can skip this one for today.
They click off.
I think these mini-sodes have gone a bit too far.
How many jokes about being small can they make?
Clearly these two need to be kept in check.
We do. Well,
we need to send them a message.
See you later to those who left. And
hey guys, I'm Lena, and I am also a Gleek. Hey, good morning. Happy Galentine's Day to those who are still here. It's not Galentine's Day for you, but it is Galentine's Day for Ian and I.
That's true. For you, it's whatever the exact opposite of Galentine's Day is, February 15th.
Yeah, happy 15th of February.
Yeah, what a fantastic day. Let's get in to some of your emails, voice messages, your thoots.
Yeah. Before we start, I just want to thank everyone who reached out this week, especially. Like, we always get, like, the kindest, most amazing messages and emails and voicemails and all of that. But this week, everyone was, like, extra, extra nice. And, like, just, like, opened up to us about, you know, like, their thoughts on religion and this episode. And just lovely. Just a great week. Mm-hmm. And as per usual, we obviously cannot, we don't have time to put in every single message, even though we want to, and we listen to all of them several times and we read all of them and like take notes on them and just, you know, obviously like, but because of the nature of all of this, we decided that we were going to pick a few emails that showed a lot of different perspectives, much like the writers on Glee tried to do. So yeah, but I just want to thank everyone who reached out and like sent us messages this week. Y'all were on some other show. You guys were so nice. So yeah, well, let's get into it, shall we? Up first, we have an email from Caitlin.
Hi guys, I'm Caitlin, and I have been really enjoying your podcast. Overall, I really like this episode and feel like it's one of the first and only... Oh, we should probably mention... I don't know, I feel like it's obvious, but this is our episode about grilled cheeses. Should we mention that?
Maybe.
Just, I realized that on the minisodes, we never do a little reminder of what the last episode was. I feel like it's self-explanatory. Yeah. Maybe I'm being redundant. Anyways,
I don't
think so. Back into the email. Overall, I really like this episode and feel like it's one of the first and only episodes of Glee that ever made me actually think about my life. But that is not why I'm writing this email. I'm writing it to bring attention to the fact that Finnegan Christopher Hudson ate a grilled cheese that is at least a week old. And if the age alone isn't bad enough, he was taking it back and forth from school, and he was probably keeping it in his locker. Then when he eats it, he takes it out of the fridge. This man is eating a week-old cold grilled cheese. You could not pay me any amount of money to eat that grilled cheese, and it makes me sick just thinking about it. Anyways, I love your podcast. I hope you're both having a good day. Thanks for doing what you do, Caitlin.
Oh, I am having a good day, Caitlin. I didn't even... It's been in his locker, and that's kind of the gross part. He's, like, taking it to and from places. He's leaving it, like, in his locker, so it's probably, like, lukewarm sometimes. It's, like, melted and, like, froze probably over how many times? I don't even know. Oh, my gosh. Would you eat it, Ian?
No.
I got the sense that you might. Maybe I just think you're gross.
Grilled cheese is not safe. If you're not going to eat grilled cheese in the moment, just don't make a grilled cheese.
Totally. Caitlin, thank you so much for pointing that out. Up next, we have a voicemail from Danielle.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Lena. My name's Danielle, and I'm going to get to it. So I am 27 years old, and our American educational system sucks balls. Because I, again, am 27 years old, and I... was never able to identify what a satire is until you guys. You guys actually made me understand what satire and camp is because I was watching a show with my brothers on Netflix and I was like, oh my God, this is a satire. And they were like, yeah, are you stupid? And I was like, no, I just was not taught correctly. And then camp, I was like, wait, my whole life is a freaking campy mess. So thank you for teaching me and educating me so much. I also think that you guys should do a Patreon because I would love to watch your Zoom video footage of this podcast. I need to see it in all you and all of your beauty. I have 10 more seconds left. But, yeah, I love you guys so much. Thank you for making me laugh and then realize my childhood trauma. Here's a kiss for you.
Danielle, glad that we could sub in for the failings of the American educational system for you.
Yeah. We're real teachers over here.
And you know, if there's an audience for people who want to stare at Lena and I truly in our pajamas with me with an air mattress propped up behind me as if it's a wall. And if you want to know just how many awkward pauses there are in an episode and you're willing to pay to watch it.
Also,
let us know because we are not against it.
No, we talked about it a little last night, and the only hesitation I have is Ian and I are absolutely just trash monsters, and if you guys saw how many times I have to, like, pull away from the microphone to burp, I don't think you guys would want to be my friend anymore. Like, I'm really genuinely a disgusting person.
But, I mean,
but yeah,
if
that
people
fun.
Would be willing to join a Patreon where you just watch us... just sit in silence every once in a while during episodes and burp and do all the things.
I'm sitting here with a blanket and a heating pad like a child.
Also, I'll cut this out if I'm incorrect. Danielle, does your message start with like someone singing in the background? Everyone, let's listen closely.
Let's listen again.
Hi, Ian. Hi.
Do you
it
hear
sounds
that?
Like the car radio.
Oh, maybe.
It's like,
Anyways.
Danielle, let us know. What were you listening to? I want to know. Tweet
All
us
right.
at Recovering Gleek. Up next, we have an email from Molly.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Molly from Canada.
International listeners!
I was just listening to Minisode 8 and sorting into Hogwarts houses was mentioned, which made me realize that you guys have never undertaken the laborious task of sorting all the Glee characters. I would absolutely love to hear your sorting. I feel like there will be some spicy takes. Here's my list. The stars mean I think they're hot takes slash debatable. Also, I know that it is too early, but I'm hoping with all my might that you have watched a Harry Potter musical, and we'll talk about it when Darren Criss comes on, because that shit is hilarious. Thank you for brightening my day. I most certainly have. I was a teenager in 2010. How could I not have seen it?
Oh, yeah. I was you all over not... Tumblr. I knew everything about it.
You could not escape that thing back in, like, 2008 through, like, 2011. Mm-mm. It was all anyone talked about. Anyways, literally. So we're going to read through Molly's list, and then we will say if we agree with the sorting of that character or if we disagree where we would put them. Everyone buckle up. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Ian from the future. If you don't care to hear us just really get down in the dirt of where these characters would be sorted if they attended this imaginary school, go ahead and skip to about 27 minutes, 30 seconds. We talk about it for a while.
First off, she has her Gryffindors. Right off the bat, she says Rachel Berry, and right off the bat, I personally disagree with that sorting. Rachel is a Slytherin through and through.
I agree.
Molly, I can see your case. I don't think you're stupid for putting her in Gryffindor. No. She is like a born leader, but she is too ambitious for her own good. She is cunning in the sense that she will do stuff that she knows is dubious and unethical to get what she wants, which is a hardcore Slytherin thing.
They call me Macbeth. Ambition is my folly. Just like that, you know? Ambition is your folly.
And as we know, Alexander Hamilton is a Slytherin. Anyways.
He's a Slytherin. For sure.
Up next, she has Mercedes in Gryffindor. I personally agree with this one.
I agree. Yes, you? I agree with that.
Okay. She next has Will. I 100% agree that Will is in Gryffindor.
Yep. Oh, for sure. The way that he like married his high school sweetheart, that's so Gryffindor.
Yeah. And like, he's a leader. He's also like so full of himself. Like, two very big Gryffindor qualities. Up next, she has Lauren Zices. I haven't watched a lot of Lauren Zices episodes, like her centric episodes, in a while. So I don't have a strong case for Lauren, but I do kind of agree that she's in Gryffindor.
I think so. I agree as well.
She's like a trailblazer. She joined the men's wrestling team. Like, good for her. She, you know, she's very brave, not afraid to do what she wants to do.
She's like the head of the AV club. She's like in the HBIC over there. Love that.
Up next, she has Becky as a Gryffindor.
Agree.
Okay. Up next, we have Carl the dentist. I agree that Carl's a Gryffindor.
Yep, I agree. Do you see that Corvette?
And then her final Gryffindor is Noah Puckerman. I guess
he's
agree.
He's Squib to me.
He doesn't. Yeah, he didn't. he didn't get the letter.
He's Squib.
But yeah, no, he's a pretty generic jock, and I feel like generic jocks are always Gryffindors.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's get to our lovely Slytherin, shall we? Her first Slytherin is the one and only Santana Lopez.
That agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I agree so much.
Her next one, this is her first hot take slash debatable take. It's one that I personally agree with 100%. She says that Kurt Hummel is a Slytherin. And I love that Kurt is a Slytherin because, as a Slytherin myself, I'm all for positive portrayals of Slytherins. Yes, we have a lot of character flaws that can lead to us being bad people. It doesn't mean that we're all bad people. Yeah. And Kurt can be emotionally manipulative, which is a very Slytherin quality. Kurt is very ambitious, which is a very Slytherin quality. Kurt, like, kind of thinks that he's like different and like a little above other people, which is a different Slytherin quality, but then he's still like genuinely is a good person and tries to do good things. Up next, her next spicy take is Artie, and she said straight up, she was like, I couldn't pick a house for Artie, and I got snake vibes. I don't think Artie is a Slytherin.
Where do you think he is?
I agree that I have a hard time placing him, but I think Artie is a Ravenclaw.
That's just because he wears glasses. I think he's a Slytherin.
It's because he's very into like his intellect. It's more prevalent in later seasons, but when he gets all into like how he's gonna be like a director and he thinks he's like very smart, you can see it in like when he does Vogue and he directs Vogue in the Madonna episode. Like Artie is very into his intellect and what he can accomplish with his mind.
I get that.
And so that's why I think that he's a Ravenclaw. But I also just like didn't have strong opinions. Next, she put Terry. Agree 100%.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. The way she yells at Will for being like not careful with his money and then shows up in a fur coat like that. Mm-hmm. Come on, girlfriend.
Up next, she put Sue. Agree 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Her Ravenclaws. Both her Ravenclaws, she says, are spicy takes. Her first one is Quinn, because she says that Quinn is quiet and smart. I disagree. I think that Quinn's a Slytherin.
I completely disagree. She is so a Ravenclaw.
I think that Quinn is very cunning. She knows exactly how to get what she wants out of different people. And she, like, Quinn is very big. I feel like a big Ravenclaw quality is that you don't really care very much what other people think of you. Ravenclaws are just... they're content to just be weird. Quinn cares so much about what other people think of her, and she purposely will manipulate those around her to get in the position she wants to be in.
Yeah. I think that Quinn was written to be a Slytherin. I do not think that Quinn is a successful Slytherin portrayal. Like, especially as, you know, she becomes, like, more on the back burner. I think she isn't like that at all, you know?
I disagree. I feel like consistently, every time that Quinn gets a storyline, it's about her really wanting a certain amount of status. Okay, spoiler alert, everyone. If you really care, just skip forward 30 seconds. We have so many storylines about her trying to become prom queen at any cost. We have her...
Sure.
We have, after season two, she goes off the rails and she joins the Skanks, and then she switches her entire personality again so that she can undermine Shelby. We have when she goes to Yale. If you've just come back, skip forward another 30 seconds. When she goes to Yale, she gets that fancy boyfriend, and she purposely tries to hide her past from the boyfriend so that she can marry into a respectful family. She is consistently... she cares so much about her own status, and she will consistently put on different personalities to get what she wants out of people. I think Quinn is a textbook Slytherin, personally. Okay.
All right.
Her second Ravenclaw is Tina. I also disagree with Tina.
What?
I think Tina
Who are our Ravenclaws, then?
I think I have a Ravenclaw coming up. I think Tina is 1,000% a Hufflepuff. Tina is loyal to a fault.
True. In the way, spoiler alert, when she like cries when she tells, like, when she sings that song to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Very Hufflepuff.
And like a lot of Tina's storylines are her feeling, are either her being taken advantage of, but not being willing to stick up for herself, which is a very Hufflepuff thing. You're loyal to a fault. Or B, her being very, very sad that people are leaving her life, which is a very Hufflepuff trait. Yeah,
totally.
I think it's a lot of time because Tina does have like a lot of attitude on her, which isn't like a classic Hufflepuff trait, that makes people think she might not be one. But I personally think she super is one. She's just a Hufflepuff with an attitude, you know? Truth. But like... think of how often this girl cries because her friends are leaving. Like, come on.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Okay. Here are her Hufflepuffs. Her first one, Brittany. Brittany is my Ravenclaw.
What?
Okay. Think of Luna Lovegood. Ravenclaw's whole thing is that they're all about their minds, and they are like, you can be as weird as you want. They don't really care. And Brittany is so off in her own world doing whatever she wants. And skip forward 30 seconds, everyone. We later find out that Brittany is a genius and she goes to MIT.
Yeah.
I am convinced that Brittany's a Ravenclaw.
Okay.
I do think she's very loyal, so I can't see the case for that. I just don't think so. Next up, she has Finn as a Hufflepuff. What do you think?
I don't know. What do you think?
I agree that he very well could be a Hufflepuff. If he's not a Hufflepuff, I think he's a Gryffindor. Because he
is a Hufflepuff.
Because he is such a leader, and he like is pretty brave, and he will like go against the grain. But yeah, yeah. He is super loyal to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see a very strong case for either of those houses.
I think about Finn being a Hufflepuff, like just the episode that we are going to talk about Wednesday. Rachel has a conversation with him where she's saying something like, like you're so kind and open with everyone you meet, and that's inspiring. That's true. Pretty Hufflepuffy.
That's true. All right. Up next for her Hufflepuffs, we have Sam. I don't have strong thoughts about that. I think that's probably correct.
Yeah, I think so. I think Sam's a Hufflepuff. I think he could be also a Ravenclaw just because he's like a secret nerd.
Yeah, because like, he's just a huge really nerd.
Enjoys media mm-hmm. and like loves to like do impressions, and I feel like the Ravenclaw kids, you know, saw Avatar in theaters six times, you know? Yeah.
Her next Hufflepuff that she has as a spicy take is Blaine. I do not agree with this.
Where do you think Blaine goes?
I think Blaine's a Ravenclaw.
Hmm.
Oh, my biggest reason that I don't agree with Blaine...
I think Blaine's a Gryffindor.
Okay, I can see that. My biggest reason that I don't agree with Blaine as a Hufflepuff is, fast forward if you really care about spoilers, everyone, 30 seconds, he ditches the Warblers when he finds a better school. That's not loyalty. And then he cheats on Kurt when Kurt goes to college. That's not loyalty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Blaine
has...
The
thing that makes me think that Blaine has, like, Gryffindor qualities is I feel like Blaine oftentimes does a lot of, like, grand gestures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where he, like, tries to ask that guy out in the Gap. And he, like, goes to New York, like, out of nowhere. Like, he's a big grand gesture guy. And I feel like Gryffindors are pretty grand gesture-y.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is a Gryffindor or a Ravenclaw. I don't agree that he's a Hufflepuff. Next up, she labeled this as a spicy take and put Emma. I personally don't think that's spicy. I think Emma's a Hufflepuff.
I think so.
Emma cares very much about the people she cares about, and she works really hard to fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
She put Mike Chang as a Hufflepuff and said that was spicy. I don't know. I think that's probably true, too. I think he's probably a Hufflepuff. She put Ken Tanaka as a Hufflepuff because she said he's secretly a softie. I think that's true. Finally, she put Figgins as a Hufflepuff, which... Like, yeah, he probably is. I would say...
I like to think that.
I would say he's probably a Hufflepuff or maybe a Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
Right, well, if you don't like Harry Potter, I apologize for the last, what, like 12 minutes? Anyways,
we also got a question from Miranda. And Miranda asked what our Hogwarts Sun, Moon, and Risings are.
Really fast, give us a rundown of what Sun, Moon, and Rising mean.
So your sun is your core, your moon is your, like, emotions, and your rising is your, like, physical person. Just, like, very simplistic.
Okay. Ugh. So you can tell me if you agree or disagree with this assessment. I'm really bad at assessing myself, by the way.
I apparently
have no self-awareness. I think my sun is Slytherin.
Mm-hmm.
I think my moon, which would be my emotional core. Oh, goodness sakes. I'm going to go back to moon because I have no idea. I think my rising is either a Hufflepuff or a Ravenclaw. I don't know which, though. But those are the houses that people who don't know me very well always tell me that I am.
Yeah, definitely.
I always get Hufflepuff or Ravenclaw from people that, like, I'm acquaintances with. Oh, gosh. Emotional core? Would I be a Gryffindor moon?
You are kind of fiery sometimes.
Yeah, because Gryffindor is fire. I think that's true, because Slytherin is water, Gryffindor is fire, Hufflepuff is earth, mm-hmm. Ravenclaw is air. So I'm going to say I'm a Slytherin core, I'm a Gryffindor mm-hmm. moon, and probably a Ravenclaw
Say Ravenclaw more than Hufflepuff.
Ravenclaw rising. There we go. What are yours?
Mine is, I always get from people, I don't know, like, as I get older, like, I feel like I'm constantly changing my like outlook on life. I literally in ninth grade wrote an essay all about what makes me a Slytherin and like got an A+ on it for like my English class. Like, who let me do that? Like, I grew up thinking that I was like, if I were to go to Hogwarts at 13, I probably would have been a Slytherin. As an adult woman, I don't think so.
Here's my thought on that. What? Is I think who you are at that age, like mid puberty, is who you are at your core. And then the rest of your life, because like you would, if you went to Hogwarts at 11, you would go to Hogwarts at 11. You would get sorted at 11. And I think that through my life, I have become a lot more like Ravenclaw Hufflepuff because I've learned to like not just get mad at people for no reason. And I've learned to like be a lot more respectful. And I had a conversation with a friend about this. One of my friends from high school, we were talking about this one time and we were saying that we're like, hopefully everyone gets more Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw as they grow up. Like you learn to just like live and let live and like be kinder to people. But at 11, I was a huge Slytherin. And so even though now I've learned to like control myself better and I have a lot more Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw tendencies, I'm still a Slytherin because like at my core when I was 11, that's what I was.
Right.
That's my 2 cents on that.
Good 2 cents. Also, this school is fake. And, you know. Anyway, I think my answer to this is as I've gotten older, I my like favorite quality in other people, the quality I want to cultivate the most in myself is bravery. So I'm going to do a hot take here. Maybe people don't agree. My sister always yells at me and tells me I'm not. I think I'm a Gryffindor sun.
Okay.
I think I'm a Slytherin moon.
Okay.
And I think people always tell me I'm a Hufflepuff. So a Hufflepuff rising.
Yeah, I think Hufflepuff rising is definitely true.
Yeah.
Because you are very loyal and kind, but I don't think you're a Hufflepuff at your very, very, very core.
No. Like, and yes, I am loyal and kind at my core for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, man, like, it's so hard to put people into 4 categories of, like, an asshole, a jock, kind, likes to read. It's so stupid.
I always got annoyed. Okay, I am like, truly, I'll put a warning before this that if people don't like Harry Potter, like skip to whatever minute because we've been talking about it for so long. Mm-hmm. But I remember back before like the official test came out. So back in like early 2000s, I would try and find like just fan-made tests to find out what house I was, and they always pissed me off because it was so incredibly obvious what answer led to which house that I was like, it's not even possible to get a true answer out of this because you like are just going to click on the one you want to be. It would be like you're about to cross a bridge with your friend and a troll shows up and it comes to attack you. What do you do? And it's like, A, I fight the troll because I'm brave. B, I outsmart the troll because I'm smart.
I read the troll a book.
C, I stay with my friend because I'm loyal. Or D, I leave my friend to die because I'm an asshole. And I was like, wow, I wonder which answer is which house. It can make me so mad.
I remember like maybe 2 years ago, our university, we were like sending around this quiz that was like every single Pottermore question you could get and also a lot more. Mm-hmm. And it gave you like a ranking. And also like there were things like burned Hufflepuffs and like something like that, like a Hufflepuff who's like been burned. I don't know. It was cool. And it's like a million questions. I'll try and find it and tweet it.
I've done the test where it's like every single possible question you could do on Pottermore and it ranks you. And when I take it now, I get Ravenclaw. And that's why.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That's why I say that I think it counts more as who you were when you were in middle school, because the Pottermore test came out my sophomore year of high school and I took it then and I got Slytherin, and I took it like twice and I got Slytherin. And so I think now, you know, I've kind of learn to diffuse a lot of the toxic traits of a Slytherin a little bit more. So now when I take it, I get more Ravenclaw, but I'm like, but I still feel like I'm a Slytherin at my core.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, heck. That was the Harry Potter hour of our podcast.
Welcome back, people who don't care about Harry Potter. I promise that from here on out, we're just talking about grilled cheeses. Up next, we got a voice message from Ava.
Hello, my name is Ava, she, her pronouns. I just had to pause your grilled cheeses episode because, Ian, I think you said your worst part, and it was that, like, all the kids were antagonizing Kurt for being an atheist and not believing in God. And while I do, like, really agree with what you said, I just kind of wanted to come at it from a different perspective because I feel like that was actually a great plot line. And I feel like this might be giving the writers too much credit because, as we know, they literally don't know what they're doing. But I feel like that is something that a lot of religious people can do. And, like, not saying that all religious people are like this, but a lot of religious people do antagonize people of other religions because they don't believe what they believe. And so I feel like that was a good way to go. But I also feel like they didn't handle it right at the end with not telling them that, like, oh, yeah, it's okay for other people to believe different things. And I'm running out of time, but yeah, that was my thought.
Ava, I completely agree with you in that it is like an honest portrayal of how a lot of religious people react and that they really try and shove their beliefs on you, et cetera, et cetera. My biggest issue is exactly what you said at the end there. It at no point does the episode point out that they're in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you are correct that it is an honest betrayal, and I would be totally cool with that, and I would actually think it was, like, made the episode better if there was a moment when they were like, wait, maybe we weren't right to, like, so just constantly over and over again try and shove our beliefs in the face of someone who has vocalized that, like, it's not what they're looking for right now. And we got an email from a listener named Biz who actually, she, like, gave us a proposal of how they could have handled this situation to make it work better that we really liked. So we're gonna read that right now. So she says, first off, I want to say I'm a big fan of the podcast. Obviously, I don't know why someone would email to share negative or neutral feelings. I too am a 20-something with a lot of feelings about Glee and about theater. I majored in one of those things. I'll let you guess which one. Biz, my guess is that you are the world's first Glee major. Congratulations on your BFA in Glee.
Proud of you, Biz.
I honestly wasn't expecting to have such a huge response to this episode of Glee, but honestly, I related to Kurt harder than I have since high school. This episode would have come out after my own father had a big health scare during my junior year of high school. He's okay now, but it was a very scary situation, and I'll leave it at that. I was and still am an atheist. I don't believe in God, and honestly think organized religion often does more harm than good. However, I do consider myself a spiritual person. There's definitely more than what we can see and touch, and I recognize that religion is often really helpful and comforting to individuals and does help build some beautiful communities. My two gay dads are both ministers. How many times do you read that sentence in your life? I'm glad that the focus was on Kurt, but couldn't we have cut the last song and replaced it with a scene where the kids are all talking again and they admit they were wrong? Maybe it opens up into a broader spiritual conversation and we'll see Sue lurking in the hallway still and has the "Are you gonna report me?" exchange. You guys said several times about how Glee and Ryan Murphy wanted to make this episode of religion that showed the issue from a lot of different perspectives. Just want to pop in here and challenge that statement a little. Atheism, fully from Kurt and wavering kind of from Sue. Christianity, fully from many characters and wavering from Finn. Judaism, not really talked about much, to a not really talked about much level from both Rachel and Puck. Those are the only perspectives that were shown, and there is so much more out there. Was this episode still pretty progressive in letting a kid be somewhat right with his own lack of faith and atheism? Yes. Was it by any means genuinely showing religion from a lot of different perspectives? I don't think so. This is not meant as an attack on you or on the show. I know there's only so much time in each episode and you can't talk about everything, but I just felt like it was important to bring up that they only even named three faith systems. Finally, I want to say that while I love Kurt's arc in this episode, like you said, how beautiful is it when he acknowledges that his family and his relationship with his dad is sacred to him? I do think the episode ends up feeling like it comes down pretty firmly in the God and more specifically Christianity is good camp. They end the episode with a song that includes Kurt, Why, with them singing literally, yeah, yeah, God is great, yeah, yeah, God is good, like 500 times. I mean, how freaking clearly do you need to telegraph it? I also want to recognize that my dislike of this member is possibly colored by my own weird experiences with it. There are only so many high school assemblies containing moving PowerPoints to this song that one can take. I went to a Catholic all-girls school, so again, I just wish they had cut this song in favor of a classic Glee kids sit in a circle of chairs and talk about their feelings moment. I know the show loves to end on musical highs, but I think an actual scene would have fit better here. Just to really hammer my point home, I think having Kurt sing in the last number feels really icky and solidifies the Kurt had to learn a lesson about how believing in God is okay as being the main message rather than what the message should have been and was trying to be, question mark. All spiritualities are okay. However anyone chooses to find comfort and faith in this world is good as long as they aren't actively hurting other people with their beliefs / actions. This episode was about Kurt. Let Kurt bring it home with the last song. Pick a different song. Ugh. Thank you, Biz.
Yeah.
I do agree. I think the episode kind of, while it does have it, like, it's okay that Kurt doesn't have, like, religious beliefs, and he doesn't need to be. I do agree that the episode is much more, like, pro-religious, I feel like. And I, this is 100% just my opinion and take on it, you guys. I have done little to no research. But in the little to no research I have done, pretty sure Ryan Murphy is not religious. And I think it is that thing of where, if you are, like, I think it likely it was that Ryan Murphy is not religious and he was so afraid of religious people getting pissed at him that he leaned in super hard on the, like, positive religious stuff. And while I think that was good, like, I do think it was a very good idea to have both pro and anti-religious arguments in this episode, it then does equal out that Kurt's point of view ends up getting major shafted, and I agree the episode ends with them being like, yeah, yeah, God is great, instead of, like, them all talking, and I think your idea is much better, and having Kurt be just as validated as everyone else is.
Totally. Thank you for that message, Biz.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Lila.
Hey guys, it's Lila again. I'm in the middle of listening to the grilled cheese sauce episode, and I just had to pause and send this because I had a thought. So you guys were talking about how Kurt, like, vocalizes that it makes him uncomfortable to have, like, a religion week, and Mr. Chu doesn't care about that. When just a week before in Brittany is like, my middle name is S and my last name is Pierce. My middle name is Brittany S. Pierce. So it makes me uncomfortable to do Brittany, which is, like, as much as I love Brittany, it's totally illogical. And yeah, this issue is like, see guys, we can't do Brittany now. But, like, then he doesn't even care when, what's his face, Kurt is uncomfortable for a valid reason. Yeah, okay, bye.
Lila, I think we can chalk this up to the writers not knowing who these characters are and truly changing them episode by episode to fit whatever narrative they're trying to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? I don't think they're even like, oh, Will isn't like this. They're just like, we need a figure to be the antagonist. Let's make it Will this week. Let's make it Sue this week. You know?
Yeah.
But that's so true. It pisses me off to see, really.
I just will never get over the fact that Will acts like they have to do spiritual music specifically to help Kurt when Kurt is the one vocalizing that it's not helping him at all and it's making it worse. Just, all right. Thank you for that message, Lila.
Yeah. Now we have an email from Jonathan.
Hello, Ian and Lena. My name is John and I'm a Gleek. First off, I love your podcast as I can relate to being a musical theater kid and having many thoughts about Glee. I really appreciate your thoughtful recounts on each episode as I often find that I'm not the only one who had these thoughts while watching the episode. I remember watching Grilled Cheeses recently and being so confused why Finn was praying for the chance to touch Rachel's boobs instead of his father figure, not Will, who was in the hospital. I agree that this whole storyline could have been better suited for another character like Puck or Brittany, for example. I also appreciate your conversation regarding religion in this episode, as it can seem daunting and you don't want to offend anyone. As a person who practices Christianity, I loved seeing all the views in the episode, as well as hearing your thoughts. I realize that religion can be traumatic to some people, and they have every right to be uncomfortable with other people shoving it in their face. When Kurt voiced discomfort, the rest of the class should have prayed on their own private time if they felt so inclined to do so. I see wanting to show Kurt comfort, but you also need to respect boundaries. I think that both Kurt and the other kids did and said some not great things to each other, but as the characters are all just teenagers, I look past it as they learn a lesson. Will and Emma are the ones I'm disappointed with. But then again, what's new with that? Although I do respect Emma outside of this episode. Other than that, you guys basically talked through all of my thoughts on the episode. The only other thing I would have to say is that it would have been cool if Kurt would have encountered an LGBTQ plus character who did believe in God and show that not all Christians are homophobic, transphobic, etc. But this was still early Glee, so I guess I can't really hold that against them. Just a neat idea I had. I do want to thank Lena for getting me to finally listen to more Taylor Swift. I realized in one of the last episodes... I realized in one of the last episodes when you planned out a Taylor Swift tribute episode that I had been calling myself a Taylor Swift fan without listening to most of her music. I started listening to Folklore and Evermore after listening to that episode and haven't stopped yet. If you haven't, I would highly recommend listening to Folklore in the shower as it really sets a great vibe. I also want to thank Ian for introducing me to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Yeah! You've mentioned it in a previous minisode, and I had never heard of it before. I just finished season one last night, and I am hooked. You guys, this Yay. Is Ian editorializing. I cannot overemphasize how wonderful that show is. I love the representation it shows with mental illness, and I hardcore ship Daryl and White Josh. So yeah, thank you for introducing me to these new awesome forms of art. I can't wait for the next episodes. Sending love and good vibes from Minnesota, John. Thank you, John, for this John. Message. I agree with your thoughts about having, you know, like some form of queer religious representation in this episode. I think that is very important. I think it does boil down to what Biz said in her email, where she was like, they like a bunch of different perspectives, sure, but like it's actually just atheism and Christianity. And then Biz does say, but I do recognize they only have 45 minutes. It is that like impossible task of like, it is such a touchy subject, and I wish that they could show every aspect of it, but then at the same time, they only have 45 minutes, and when does it become so crowded that they can't actually do justice to anything?
Right.
Yeah. I do agree with Biz that, I think that problem could have been solved by just focusing less on Christianity and just having it be, like, a belief system in general. But yeah, I agree with you, John. I just think it's like, you got 45 minutes... It's tough to shove everything in there, but I do wish they could have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that in the show, too.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, no spoilers, does that happen? I don't think so.
I don't think it does. I guess we have hints that Santana probably has some sort of belief system, but it's never made explicit. It is just hinted at.
You know, we do have a character like that.
Who?
Quinn.
True.
John, thank you so much for that message. Up next, we have an email from Addie.
All right, bringing us home. Hey, Lena and Ian, I'm Addie, she, her. You might remember me from a voicemail I sent a bit ago. I loved all of your takes on grilled cheeses, and as someone with a complicated history with religion, I really admired your viewpoints. As someone who was previously LDS, I love understanding all Ian's little comments about church. And Lena, what you've shared of your story with religion has really resonated with me. Lena, I shed a few tears hearing you become emotional about asking if you're going to hell and being assured that you aren't. I think that emotion is limited to people with a very specific experience that I believe we both share. I've cried to my therapist for many sessions while working through the same questions. Realizing I'm queer and leaving the church at 15 years old is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Losing the foundation of my life and having to rebuild my identity is a challenge I'm still working on and probably always will be. I still want you to know that you inspire me endlessly, and I feel so connected with you even just from listening to a Glee podcast. Ian, I admire you and your takes on religion so much. I can't even explain it with words. Although not all my experiences in the LDS Church were fantastic, the majority of them were. The friends I made and campouts we went on really made me who I am today. Your progressive and accepting attitude gives me so much hope, and I think you're awesome. Thank you so much for reminding me what I love about spirituality. Also, Be Still My Soul absolutely slaps. I'm sorry this email is so long. I just love you guys. Thanks for keeping me company. All my love, Addie. P.S. Quinn is definitely queer-coded, and Peace is one of the Taylor Swift's best songs ever written. She is, as Lena said, she is our queer Christian representation. You just have to majorly read between the lines. You have to look a little
closer. I, when I read this email, I was at work, and I cried my eyes out. It's such a sweet message, and we got so many messages left just like this that are so sweet and kind and open and beautiful, and oh gosh, I cannot thank you guys enough for being truly the best people on the planet. Oh my gosh. So yeah, thank you for that message, Addie.
We cannot overemphasize, first of all, I don't know about you, Lena. I was literally stressed out of my mind to do an episode on grilled cheeses.
Yeah.
You know, just talking about religion while also talking about an episode of a TV show while you're being recorded and you only have like an hour and a half to do it is very stressful.
Yeah, it is.
And I was so worried that we would have like handled it poorly or like said something that offended someone or whatever. And everyone this week, all of your emails, even when people disagreed with stuff we said, everyone was like so incredibly kind. And truly, as Lena said at the beginning, we would have loved to have made this like a 2.5 hour minisode where we read every single email because they were all incredible. We just know that like we loved all of them and we so appreciate you guys and all the things that you said and just love you guys.
Yeah, we love you so much. I hope you have a good rest of your week. Happy Monday. You can do it. We believe in you. Our next episode comes out on Wednesday. Woo. If you want to follow us on the social medias, do it to it. If you want to be featured on next week's minisode about what episode was
it? Duets.
Duets. You can send us a voicemail at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can send us an email at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Yeah. So, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Go spread some glee.
Go spread some mini tiny glee.
Mini go, let mini me spread, mini some, mini glee.
Here's a kiss on your forehead.
Here's a kiss from me, mini. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.